You're listening to Eaters.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي درود شریف علیه Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home. In the last few sessions of Darsi Hadith, we have been covering the biography of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an, a Sahabi himself and also the son of a Sahabi. A Sahabi himself and also the son of a Sahabi. In fact, Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an was approximately only 10 years of age when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. So a young Sahabi. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an, when we look into his personality. Now, just to very briefly explain, we are covering the biography of Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an. Why? Because he's the individual who is the legitimate ruler after the death of Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. So Muawiyah the second also died, who was the son of Yazid. And then Marwan ibn Hakam, he also died. And thereafter, the ruler, the Khalifa, the legitimate Khalifa is Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an. Now, Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an, when we look into his personality, alhamdulillah, Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an is that Sahabi which actually strengthens the position of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at. He is that individual who strengthens the position of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at. When we look at Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an, we have this clear picture of how closely related the family of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an is with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have this propaganda from the Shia sect, and unfortunately even amongst the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at, the only picture that we have is that the only man to be related with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an only. Generally that is the case. That if you look at the family members of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, the first name that comes to mind is Hazrat Ali, and that is it. And thereafter, Bibi Fatima. You will hardly find any Shia, or for that matter even the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at, stretching their imagination, in fact the truth, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had many daughters. And you will hardly find people talking about Hazrat Ruqayya, Hazrat Zainab, and Umme Kulsum radiyallahu ta'ala. They were the daughters of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the picture is such that the only people related is Bibi Fatima, her children, and Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, and that is it. The truth is, my respected brothers, that if you look at the Arab tribes amongst the people of Arabia, many, many people were related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very closely related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just to give you a family breakup, looking into the family of Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala. And of course we know that the mother is Asma radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Abdullah ibn Zubair. And Hazrat Asma is the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And therefore, Abdullah ibn Zubair from the mother's side, the grandfather is who? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, as in the Nana. The Nana. So from the mother's side, the grandfather is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And if you look from the father's side, the father is Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Zubair is the son of Hazrat Safiya. Hazrat Safiya is the auntie of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, the father of Abdullah, who is Zubair, so Zubair becomes the cousin of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the father of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is Abdullah, Abdullah and Safiya are brothers and sisters. Abdullah, both of them are the children of Abdul Muttalib. You see the connection there? Both of them are the children of Abdul Muttalib. So Safiya and Hazrat Abdullah are brothers and sisters. So therefore, Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam is who? The cousin of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his son, subhanallah, he is the grandchild of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And the mother is the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. And another very important connection of Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala is his grandfather. Is his grandfather. So the father's name is Zubair. His father's name is Zubair. Zubair's father's name is Awam. What is his name? Awam ibn Khuwailid. Awam ibn Khuwailid. Now Zubair's father's name is Awam. Awam is the real brother of Bibi Khadijatul Kubra. Awam is the real brother of Bibi Khadijatul Kubra, who is the first wife, the most honorable, to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the connection. If you just take one individual, Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala, and take it from the mother's side or take it from the father's side, and you will find that everything is connected to the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you see that one can describe them also to be from the Ahl Bayt. But these were the people from the Ahl Bayt. Aliyazu billah, aliyazu billah. Recently, I was just listening to a lecture in which this Shia scholar was saying that the whole world thinks that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away and it was a natural death. It was a natural death. But the truth is that two women poisoned Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, the Quran is in front of me. And I say this openly because we live in an environment today. We have access to many, many things. You know, digitally we are connected to the whole world. And you will find a lot of people are influenced very quickly. And openly he says that Bibi Aisha and Bibi Hafsa poisoned, aliyazu billah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And who instructed them to poison Rasulullah? Their fathers. As in Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar Farooq said that you have to poison Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the filth that comes out from their mouth. And so we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers and elders. Alhamdulillah, we have to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us from amongst the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at. Take pride and be firm and be powerful and very strong in your belief. Let no one shake your belief. It's very, very important. Subhanallah. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, in a way, is from the Ahle Bayt also. Very, very closely related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, we won't even go into the family ties of his forefathers and the forefathers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khair Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an, senior sahabi who was given, of course, this honor to be the Khalifa of the Muslimin, and a man who was well known for his bravery and courage, like his father, Hazrat Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an. Upon one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an was walking in the streets of Medina Munawwara. Now, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala naturally, open this. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was walking in the streets of Medina Munawwara, and a lot of children were playing. When they saw Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, all of them ran away. Hazrat Umar is coming, Hazrat Umar is coming, Umar is coming, Umar is coming. Everybody gets scared of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Except for one child that was standing and looking at Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Except for one child. And so this was the natural sort of standing of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he had this this personality about him. People were just, they would fear him when they would look at him. He was huge, very strong, and mashallah, he would have this natural awe about him when people would see him. So the kids would run away, all the children were running, and Abdullah ibn Zubair was in front of him. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala went to him. Why didn't you run away? Hazrat Umar said to him, why didn't you run away? So he looked at Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and he said, I haven't done anything wrong that I should run away. And this path is not so narrow that the two of us can't cross. Ajeeb. What did he say? He said, I haven't done anything wrong that I should run away. And this path is not so narrow that the two of us can't cross. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala smiled at him. He was the son of Zubair. He was the son of Zubair ibn Awam, a brave soldier of Islam. Like father, like son. So a very courageous, brave child. And this child was very young. And for him to speak in this manner, to who? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. That is why later on, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala would say about Abdullah ibn Zubair that he is the pillar of Islam. He is the pillar of Islam. Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who is known as the second Umar, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he asked Abu Mulaika that describe to me Abdullah ibn Zubair. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz came later on. So he said, describe to me Abdullah ibn Zubair, how was he? And his strength and his bravery. So Abu Mulaika goes on to describe Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair. And the words are incredible. I'll try to do the translation. And he says that I have never ever seen anyone whose skin sits on their flesh, whose skin sits on their flesh Like how the skin of Abdullah ibn Zubair sits on his flesh. And then he says, I have not seen any flesh that sits on pure muscle like how Abdullah ibn Zubair's flesh sits on pure muscles. And then he says that I have not seen from anyone any muscles that are stuck onto strong bones like how the muscles are of Abdullah ibn Zubair that sit on his bones. That is how powerful Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an was. His strength physically, he was a powerful individual. A very powerful individual. And the question is, how did he get this strength, mashallah, well built, very handsome, very powerful. Today you'll find a lot of the youth, they need to go to the gym and they'll take all sorts, you know, horse hormones, you know, to increase their biceps or whatever. But subhanAllah, for Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, and the truth is that this man was that honorable Sahabi. Today we don't even understand this. He had the honor and privilege that he drank the blood of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, he drank the blood of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this makes him a unique individual. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many a times in his life, he went through this procedure of cupping. And on one occasion after cupping, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, and what he did is that he drank the blood of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, woe be unto you, Abdullah. Don't you know that if any part of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters any body, then the fire of Jahannam is haram on him. Then the fire of Jahannam is haram on him. And so he actually drank the blood of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why this man was extremely powerful, very strong in his character also, very physically and mentally very strong individual. And from amongst the few who rejected the bay'ah of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, most definitely Abdullah ibn Zubair was at the forefront. He never took bay'ah at the hands of Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, despite the others felt that, you know, for unity and so that we should all become one, perhaps this would be a good choice. But Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala was strong in his views and he disagreed. And so he never ever accepted Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. If we look at history, majority of the conquests during the Khilafat of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, especially the conquests of North Africa, the Battle of Ifriqiyah, like conquering Tunisia, the mastermind behind, mashallah, all of the victories given to the Muslim was Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. He was the man there in Afriqiyah, North Africa at that time, the mastermind to give victory to the Muslims. On one occasion, he said to Abdullah ibn Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala that your strategy is, I have observed how we as Muslims fight, that all of us fight together. And so from after Fajr until Asr, the Muslims are fighting with the enemies. And so he said what we should do is that we should divide the Muslim army into two groups. Into two groups. So that the first group, let them start after Fajr in the morning and let them continue until Zuhur. And then thereafter, let the second group enter because they will be fresh. They will be fresh. And so Abdullah ibn Sa'ad accepted this mashwara from him. And immediately, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Sa'ad would say that alhamdulillah, victory was given to the Muslims because of the good advice that came from Abdullah ibn Zubair. On one occasion, it was difficult for the Muslims to break and cross the enemy line. And Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala knew that if the head of the enemies could be taken out, whose name was Jarjis, whose name was Jarjis, and this was the battle in North Africa, it was impossible to get to Jarjis. But Abdullah ibn Zubair took an oath, and he took qasam in front of 30 individuals. And he said, I will go, I want a few of you just to back me up, and let me go in front and kill Jarjis. And this way the Muslims will defeat the enemies. And so the companion said, if this is what you want, we will go. So these were all brave soldiers. It is said that immediately, subhanallah, very quickly, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala and ripped through the enemy front line, and he went all the way in front, just with a handful of companions, and he got all the way in front, so far back, in front where Jarjis was with his women that were there, that were singing in front of him, and were fanning him and giving him food. And so when he saw Abdullah ibn Zubair, he was shocked. How can a man just come here? In fact, he thought that this must be a messenger that has come on behalf of the Muslims to ask for some kind of a truce agreement or a peace agreement, that he is the messenger. And so immediately when he came in front of Jarjis, Jarjis was about to say that, what are your conditions? Abdullah ibn Zubair took out his sword and immediately killed him, and he fell dead in front of him. And when the enemy saw this, they lost all morale to fight. And immediately the Muslims again conquered many, many regions of North Africa. It is said that Abdullah ibn Sa'ad was so happy with the bravery of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair. He said to Abdullah ibn Zubair that, I want you to personally go to Medina Munawwara and meet with Amirul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, who was the Khalifa then, and explain to him, give him an account of what you did. So he went to Medina Munawwara and he met up with Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. So Hazrat Uthman said to him, don't rush, tell me everything what had happened. And when he started speaking, remember the three things that were unique in Abdullah ibn Zubair: his worship, his eloquence, and his bravery. And when he started speaking in the Arabic language, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an would say, he is like his grandfather Abu Bakr. What would he say? Ka'annahu Abi Bakrin, ka'annahu Aba Bakrin. It is like as if Abu Bakr is standing and speaking, but he is like his nana. And he was speaking, Hazrat Uthman says, when I picture you, Abdullah, who I picture is your grandfather. This was Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, a very powerful individual. So that is the bravery of this great man. Now Abdullah ibn Zubair of course came into power, and then there was another man in front of him also that was partly accepted by the Muslim community, whose name was Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. Remember Yazid ibn Muawiyah, when he died, it was the son of Yazid, Muawiyah the second. He died very quickly. In fact, he wanted to do bay'ah at the hands of Abdullah ibn Zubair, but he passed away. Then it was Malik ibn Marwan, and he passed away also. And thereafter it was Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. So Abdul Malik ibn Marwan was another man who was in front of Abdullah ibn Zubair. But as I said, that the legitimate ruler of the Muslim empire at that time was who? This Sahabi, whose name was Abdullah ibn Zubair. And because of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, what would happen is that the Marwani group of people would sometimes come and fight the followers of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. And so the skirmishes would continue for many, many months and many years. One group fighting here was who were the followers of Marwan, and we would call them the Marwani group of people. And the others were those who were following, majority of them were people who followed Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. Khair, what happened? Abdul Malik ibn Marwan's army succeeded in taking control of Basra. In Basra. Now who was the governor at that time of Basra? The brother of Abdullah ibn Zubair, whose name was Mus'ab ibn Zubair. So when the Marwani group of people took over Basra, they killed Mus'ab ibn Zubair, who was the brother of Abdullah ibn Zubair. So now Basra is under their control. Then later on, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan made an announcement. He said to the people that Abdullah ibn Zubair is in front of me as an opposition, and I am the Khalifa, not Abdullah ibn Zubair. Who will capture Abdullah ibn Zubair for me? Who will capture Abdullah ibn Zubair for me? And the man to stand up at that time, the most notorious zalim of this ummah, well known, a tyrant, his name is Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Saqafi. What is his name? Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Saqafi. Imagine Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Saqafi stood up and he said to Abdul Malik ibn Marwan that I will take on this mission to capture or to even kill Abdullah ibn Zubair, because I have just seen a dream. In my dream I saw that I have killed Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. This is what Hajjaj ibn Yusuf said to who? Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. So Abdul Malik ibn Marwan now mobilizes this huge army to go towards Makkah Mukarramah, which was again the main location for the followers of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, and all of the people were there. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, who is he? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz once said that if all the tyrants of the previous ummah, if all the zalimin, if all the tyrants of the previous ummah were to get together, and if they were to be put on one scale, and if Hajjaj ibn Yusuf of this ummah was to be put in another scale, then the tyranny of this tyrant, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, would outweigh the zulm of all of the previous zalimin. Imagine how this man must be. It is said that Hajjaj ibn Yusuf would have a kick at looking at blood and killing people. He would want to see blood flowing. He would want to see people die. He would want to kill people. And people were scared of him. Malik ibn Dinar says that, to my knowledge, perhaps this man himself must have killed more than 100,000 people. How many? More than 100,000 people. He was notoriously known for his zulm. A zalim of his time. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. And so he takes on this mission to take on Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. He comes with this huge army and he comes to the borders of Makkah Mukarramah. And imagine this man, he lays a siege to the city of Balad-e-Amin, to the city of Makkah Mukarramah. To the city of Makkah Mukarramah. You see, when people don't have the right understanding, and they become twisted in their minds and in their hearts, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, what Allah makes is that Allah allows them to continue in their darkness and in their stupidity. And they do things which are contrary to the Sharia, and they are punished in this world and also in the hereafter. So Hajjaj ibn Yusuf lays a siege to the city of Makkah Mukarramah. Now in those days what would happen is that because all of the doors were shut to Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, it was difficult for him to get inside. So the siege that was laid, that continued for many, many months. What he would do is that he had huge catapults. And using the catapults, he would fire rocks, huge rocks, into the city of Makkah Mukarramah. And because of that, many innocent Muslims had become shaheed. Now imagine you're in the city of Makkah Mukarramah and all of a sudden, you know, you have stones and massive boulders falling at you from the top. And so many, many people, scores of the Muslimin were made shaheed from the outside, from the army of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. It is said that once Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair was near the Haram Sharif and he was in Sajda. And whilst Hajjaj ibn Yusuf's army were catapulting the stones into the city of Makkah Mukarramah, many of the stones fell in front of Abdullah ibn Zubair. And whilst he was in Sajda, one stone was directed towards the body of Abdullah ibn Zubair, and it came under his chin. It hit him to his chin. And he still continued with his salah. Wallahi, he was well known for his worship. It is said that Abdullah ibn Zubair, when he would start his salah, when he would start his salah, and when he would go into sajda, birds would actually perch up onto his back. They would sit on his back. They would think that maybe this man is lifeless. And birds would actually sit on him. That was the sajda of Abdullah ibn Zubair. And when he completed his namaz, some of the people said to him that this is what is happening. He says, Allah is my witness, I didn't realize anything that was happening. He was so engrossed in his salah that when he would say Allahu Akbar, that is it, the connection was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He learned his salah from his grandfather. He learned his salah from his grandfather, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq learned his salah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so khair, this siege was laid, and for many, many months it continues. It is said that upon one occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, whatever he wants happens, and this lightning struck at the huge catapults, the main catapult that was there. And this lightning struck at it, and it sort of burnt the entire catapults. That perished immediately. And so all the people came to Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, and they said to him that we are scared now. Perhaps this is the wrong move, that we come and lay a siege to the city of Makkah Mukarramah. Maybe this is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has struck us with lightning. And so what are we to do? Now Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was an intelligent man. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. If you look at all of the deviant sects, all of the deviant sects, from Shi'ism to Qadianism, you will see that they enjoy with the verses of the Quran, twisting the meaning of the Quran, twisting the meaning and the message of the verses of the Quran. This is what they do best. If you look at many verses of the Quran, this is what they do. Ajib. And so what he said, he says, no, the lightning that has struck the catapult is a sign that Allah has accepted our action. Now look at this. It's a sign that Allah has accepted our action. So they said, the Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was a hafiz of the Quran. What was he? Was a hafiz of the Quran. Khair, we'll talk about that. But he said that I will prove it to you from the Quran. He said, this is an acceptance. He said, what would happen with the previous ummah, that when they would give their sacrifice, a fire would descend from the heavens and would eat their sacrifice, and this was a sign that Allah has accepted their qurbani, their sacrifice. So fire would come from the skies and it would burn whatever their sacrifice was, animals or whatever wealth they give. So it would burn it, and so this was a sign of acceptance from Allah. So why are you scared? This is an open sign from Allah. We should rejoice and be happy that Allah has burned this one catapult as a sign that Allah has accepted our qurbani and our sacrifice. And all of them started saying, Nare takbir Allahu Akbar. Nare takbir Allahu Akbar. Ajeeb. La ilaha illallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected brothers and elders. Alhamdulillah, brothers who come, and when you listen to the durus and when you listen to the history of Islam, it opens your mind. It'll open your mind and it'll give you an understanding, and alhamdulillah, you will understand what is right and what is wrong. And so history is very, very important. Alhamdulillah, it will give you the right direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Inshallah, we will continue in the next session. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf and what happens to Abdullah ibn Zubair. رضي الله تعالى عنه. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا رب.